Amen. Amen. I'm going to start off this morning in 1 Timothy 3:15. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says this: "If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress or foundation of the truth." As I entitled this message this morning, is "In the Church." In the church. There was a verse I don't have here, but it just came to mind as I was reading this, where Paul said, you know, it says you're responsible for things in the church, and God's responsible for the things outside the church. That's basically a paraphrase of what he says. And the church is a lighthouse in a very, very dark world. We are able to see God carry out his design in the church. And this is a divine privilege of God's called out people, which is evident throughout the scriptures. So God has called us, and in his calling, he has brought us into his group called the church, as believers, and called the church. And then he has allowed us, and because he's called us out, to fulfill our very design. You know, you are designed. You're blessed of God, and God has called you, and there's a design that he has for you, that he has for mankind. And so what we have within the church, within a world that is anti-Christian, within the church, we have, as the word says here, I've left you this information so you would know how to behave. How to behave where? How to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So what he's doing, he's I'm letting you know something on how you communicate within the body of Christ. This is how you can behave. And the behavior is going to be consistent with God's design. Now see, we're in a world around us, I don't know if you noticed it or not, a world that has a lot of kind of crazy ideas, all right? They're making a lot of assumptions and you know, a lot of moral barriers and everything have been broken down. They're not important anymore, you know, and you see all these discussions going on. Well, God says, how I deal with that, he said, I brought my church, and the church, I tell them how to behave. So what we do, what we have here is a consistency that we can understand that what God is doing and what he's doing in this world, he's doing through his people the way it was supposed to be. The way it was supposed to be. So I just think that's an interesting verse. I wanted to open up with this morning. And he says, this is how you ought to behave. But where? In the household of God, which is the church of the living God. And so God is having a called out people to live out his design, if you will, to live out his design. Now, this is a real privilege, and it is prevalent throughout Scripture. This is this verse in 1 Timothy 3:15, you know, and we look at this talking about the church. But this is God's intention from the very beginning, from the very creation. He was calling out a people in which he would reveal himself to, that they could live and out their design. And I'm using the word design for a very particular reason. Because design, that means the way we're made up. It's how we're made. It's our natural inclination to, it's our created inclination to serve as God intended us to. And I want to read, in fact, just to go along with that, I want to read an Old Testament verse, and it says the same thing, that we can just see this idea of God is communicating to his people. He's restoring his people and their behavior, if you will. But look at Psalms 147, 19 through 20. Psalm 147, 19 through 20. And it says this, and I could have picked a lot of verses, but just this one kind of jumped out at me. It says, God has revealed his word to Jacob. So God spoke. Who did God speak to? He spoke to Jacob. He didn't speak to everybody. He spoke to Jacob. It says, and then it says, his laws and decrees to Israel. Now, in the Old Testament, you understand the Old Testament, God's called out people was Israel, and they were called Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. So that's where Israel got its name. So it was God's called out people. So God has revealed his word to Jacob. He's revealed his laws and his decrees to Israel. Verse 20, God has done this for no other nation. Now think about that. God has done this for no other nation. It's a called out people that God revealed himself to. No other nation. It was just Israel. It's his called out people, and he revealed his word to them. And it goes on to say, it just kind of flows, he has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Why aren't these people behaving the way we think they ought to? They don't know his laws. He hasn't told them what he requires of them. So they're coming up with their own plan. They're working it out their own way. And that's one thing, as you understand, as you see the world doing it, they're going to solve all the world problems. As you watch this, you have to know in your heart, no matter how good their intentions are, it will not work out because they're doing it without God. And God is not going to bless plans that try to come up to some conclusion without him. So we just know. But within the church, he has revealed himself. Now believers move out into the world and carry the message, okay? And that's required of all believers. And so we're salt, and calls us salt and light in this world. But as we look at this, I want you to think about that God has called out people. And I love the way this ends in Psalms 147, 19 through 20. So it says God's revealed his word. God's done this for no other nation. They don't know his laws. They don't know. How does he end this? Hallelujah, praise Jesus. We know. We know. This isn't some restriction or boundary or prohibitions, you know, to keep us from working out our freedom. It is like, no, God has revealed to us who he is, what he's doing, and we know. And so he has spoken to us. Nobody else, he has spoken to us. We go, praise the Lord. That's an Old Testament. That is in the Old Testament. That is Israel in the Old Testament, the called out people. They say, praise the Lord. How come you know what all the things of God and nobody else does? Oh, bummer. No, praise the Lord. We know. See? Well, the church today, what the church is the same thing. We're God's people. He has revealed the word. He has given us, and we understand what God is doing and how he's working in the world. We go, praise the Lord. We know we have light. Amen? So that's what it's saying. And that entitled to message in the church. See, in the church, we're moving and we have light. We have the word of God, and God is speaking to us, and he's able to communicate what he's doing in this world, what he's doing in our life, and then we can cooperate with him in this world. The church is the answer to this world's problems. Amen? Now, I'm not going to have a hand raised, but say, I'm Democrat. I'm Republican, okay? And hallelujah. But neither one of them are going to solve anything. They're not. Jesus is going to solve it. And as you put your faith in Jesus and are led by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then that brings the answer into the world, and God is not going to bless anything else, all right? He's not going to bless it. What if God, well, we'll just bless the Republicans and they change the world and we would all fall on our knees and praise Republicans? Not going to happen. There's only going to be one person we praise. We're going to praise the Lord Jesus Christ and his movement in this world. He is the only answer. Now, so don't be surprised of the darkness and the confusion in this world. God hasn't talked to those folks. And so they're going their own way in their own darkness. That's it. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is the church. And so God, he's calling us to understand his design, and then we can speak truth and light into the world. But our behavior that he's teaching us is for within the church, that we have an understanding. We have if you will, more information. We have a relationship, but we have more information. Now, what I want to do is just touch on this. I mean, we could spend hours talking about God's design, okay, just all sorts of things. But what he's doing, he's trying to show us who we are, how we are made, so that we can be everything God wants us to be. That's all he's trying to do. That's all he's trying to do. Don't you try to do that to your kids. Don't ever want you to tell me, get down, look, don't you know who you are? Don't you know your potential, you know? And you just want to shake them? I think God, now maybe you don't want to shake them, man, but I think God wants to read that and just shake us up. Don't you know what your potential is? Don't you know your potential? See, you don't know your design. So what I want to look at, I just want to touch on this morning, is that God's design, what he's told us in the scripture, and so we know. We don't, whatever the world says, it doesn't make any difference, because we know God's design. And that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's design, it should thrive in the church. It should thrive in the church, because we're understanding how we're made, and so that should thrive in the church. Now, we are supposed to have a relationship with Christ. All right, number one, we know that. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We have a relationship. That's where all things start. But there is also, in that relationship and within the church, there is truth, structure, and order. There's truth, structure. Amen? I mean, you love. I always like to use kids because you have kids, and I think God has given kids to humble adults. I really do. If anybody has any, you know, yeah. Some of the best parents in the world are the people that don't have children. You know, they tell you. You know, there was even a book. I had a book that I actually had it, kept it a long time, and it was on child rearing by someone who didn't have any kids. And I thought, you know, I'd write a book too before I had kids. But after you have kids, you say, man, Lord Jesus, just help me. You know, just help me. But the thing of it is, within with your children, okay, they're yours. They have a relationship. Okay, we are Jesus's. We have a relationship. But you know, as the children need, you have a relationship with me, and therefore you'll just do right from now on. You know, we're going to just pray you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you just do right. We're going to turn you loose on the world. Won't work. What doesn't work, you know, with us either. So what he does, God has given us truth, he's given us structure, and he's given us order. So he teaches us. He teaches us. Somebody says, well, I'm just led by the Holy Spirit. The whole universe is a created order. It's a creator, you know that? And it said the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth, hovered, and God, through the Holy Spirit, created this order. So that means the Holy Spirit is one of the most orderly, maybe the most orderly being in the universe, because he created order. God created order. So he gives us truth, structure, and order, and God gives it to us so we can understand, so we can function powerfully in it, in our design. Amen? That makes sense? So I'm just going to name a couple of them. Here's one. Natural design. This is how God created it. This is how God created it, all right? He moves into the world, and this is his creation. Number one, natural design, man and woman. That's his natural design. I mean, what professor you went to college thought up man and woman? No, that's been from creation. Man and woman. God created a man and a woman. It's part of his natural design. It's the way it's supposed to be. I don't like being a man. God created you as a man. That's what you're supposed to be. All right? You're supposed. I don't like being a woman. No, God created you. So that's what you're supposed to be. And it says here, natural design, man and woman, Genesis 1:27. By the way, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. It's the first chapter in the first book. All right, we're going to start this thing off right. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, this helps you interpret the Bible, too. So a lot of people going through the scripture, and they're trying to make, you know, man gender neutral, like it and that and whatever, you know. But if you read the scripture, you can understand what God was talking about. God created man in his own image, okay? In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. man is mankind, shown right here is both male and female. So he's covering the whole thing. If you read it closely, you don't have to edit the scriptures. So that's natural design. So God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them in his own image. A man and a woman, and in the composite of the two, reflect the holy God. See? But now we want to mess with that here. We want to mess with it. All right? So you're messing with God's creation. Is it any wonder things don't get fouled up? Is it any wonder? Because you're messing with what God created, his intention for the design he intended to the people so that they could fulfill everything he wanted them to be. And he starts moving up forward with it. But outside his body, the darkness, you know, start messing with it. They start. Well, let's just go to another one. Number two, natural design. Marriage. Marriage. We go to chapter 2. In Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's design. He's, in his design, he put this picture out there of what marriage is supposed to be, man and a woman. That's God's design. Well, I don't like that design. Well, okay, whatever. But in the church, we know God's design. Amen. It is God's design. It is God's design. I don't have to sit on the stump and I don't have to make stuff up. I just go to the verse and read it. I don't know, you tell me. I'm stuck with the scripture. And I'm a preacher. I don't know what, I'm stuck with the scripture. See? You got to burn me and the book. I'm just reading what it says. All right? So we see here that man will leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they become one flesh. It's God's design. That was his intention. Can you mess with it? Yeah, you know anything you want to, but not in the church. Because we know what his design is. Now here's something, a little footnote. You may like. So you go, okay, God is just a man and a woman, and you got to have be a man and married to a woman, and it's like, well, okay, but what's the big deal, we might say, or, you know, we have a discussion about the morality. But the point of it is, what we fail to see right here is what God reveals later on in Scripture. He reveals a relationship right here, and he says, well, you want to get this down, because with this relationship, I'm going to communicate to you something you never imagined. So get this down, and you're going to understand this mystery I'm going to communicate to you. And it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to come for his bride. And you got the picture of the marriage. Now you grasp, oh my gosh, you mean it's that kind of intimate, close relationship with Christ? He comes for his bride. Amen. But the outside dark world wants to mess with it. Satan wants to mess with it. He doesn't want us to know what that's about. Amen? So that's design. It's design. And here it is. We're in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Design. Now, I am going to give you a break and not go from Genesis to Revelation to point out all the things God talks about our design. And I'll be honest with you, I would love to do that. It's fun, you know. You wouldn't like it, but I would. See, and it's in there. So God has shown us a design. What? To restrict us? For our benefit. When you're teaching your kids, work harder. This is how you clean up. This is how you dress. Are you trying to restrict them? You're trying to benefit them. You know, so they grow up and be fine, healthy men and women. At a very minimum, keep them out of jail, right? You know, right? So here we have the natural design. And so that's what we have in Scripture, is God is revealing to us so we can have and understand the majesty of God and his design and who we are. Amen? Now, so I'm going to skip all the other chapters, and I'm going to go to number 3 and just talk about God's restoration. Because man fell. Man and woman fell, and it just made a mess out of everything. It's been a mess. Been a mess since the fall, all right? And so it made a mess. So what God does, he says, I'm going to go in and I'm going to have a restoration. I'm going to restore mankind, men and women, to where they're supposed to be. I'm going to go in, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make this right. And here you have restoration in God's kingdom. Now you notice, he didn't go in and he's going to restore every single human being. He goes in and he restores people. People. He gives an opportunity to individual people. So here's, and this is one, there's so many verses you could go to, but Colossians chapter 1, 3 through 14. The natural design, that we looked at 2 points, man and woman, marriage, that's natural, and all the others. So now it's all messed up. People all in the world have messed it up. So God says, I'm going to go in and restore so people understand what a man and woman should be. I want to restore it so people understand what a marriage should be. And I'm going to restore it for all the other million things that can go on. I'm going to restore it. And this is how he does. God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. What are those folks outside the church? They're in the dominion. Bless their heart. Love them to death, you know. I mean, it's like running around with blindfolds on, but you love them to death. But what they're in the dominion of darkness. And they're trying to reason in their dominion. They're not dumb. Okay, they're not dumb. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. Now I want you to look at this. You're standing right here in the dominion of darkness. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're transferred to his kingdom. You didn't move one foot. But what you did, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have redemption. We're bought back. We have forgiveness of sins. And so now we're the kingdom. We're in the kingdom of his beloved Son based on our belief. Now we're part of the church. Now we're a part of the church. And God gives us restored people, a view of how he wants us to behave, because this is the way we're designed. We're designed this way. Amen? That makes sense? So he's trying to bang us into the fullness of who we're supposed to be. And so we have, you know, you try to think of analogies of this, and it's just hard to put it together what God has done. They all fall apart. But it's like if you're a football coach, you look up and you got this kid in, you know, he's playing football, and he's just not making it or anything like that. And you talking to him, then you see him over on the side, and he's picking up rocks, and he's throwing them through a knot hole in a building about, you know, 40 feet away. He said, "My gosh, what are you doing?" And you go talking to that kid. He said, "You know, you're just an average football player." And he said, "Yeah, I know. I don't like it, but, you know, I like the kids and stuff. Have you ever gone out for baseball? You know, have you ever gone out? No one ever thought, but I just like, heck, baseball, I saw you throwing that rock through that knot hole in that wall. You got a really skill there." And goes out there, and his greatest picture that ever happened, baseball picture. See, what happened, what God is looking down to us is you're not fitting into your design. It's like you got 10 thumbs, and he starts moving you over, and he places you where you can fill out your design. He didn't say, "Thus thou shalt not ever play football again, because I'm putting these restrictions on you." That's not what he's doing. He said, "But no, I think I know what you can do better." You know, and so we get into what God has designed us, and then we fulfill that, all right? And so in a way, even though that analogy breaks down, that's what God's doing. But in the bigger picture, he delivered us from darkness and brought us into his kingdom. Because in darkness, we'll never fulfill our design. But in light, we will fulfill our design, because now we're communicating with God our Savior. Now this restoration too, the restoration comes from the heart. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Restoration comes from the heart. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." You're a new creation. All of a sudden, your heart is transformed, and you have a new motivation. Your inner desires have changed. Your inner motivations have changed, and you have come into the kingdom, and all of a sudden, you have the mind of Christ and the power of Christ to do what Christ wants you to. Do the people outside need some more rules? You know? Some condemnation? No, they need Jesus. And they become a new creation, and then they come and they have a new motivation. They're transformed to behave the way God wants them to be. Hallelujah. It's in the church. See? And the problem is the outside world doesn't know it. The problem is the church doesn't know it. All right? Don't give the outside world rules. Give the outside world Jesus. See? Once they have Jesus, then they're transformed. And they'll want to know. All of a sudden, they have a hunger. They'll want to know. So here we are. So we have this picture. We are born again, transformed through the Holy Spirit. We become new creations. And this is how each person will experience the fullness of his and her design. Amen? That just gives the answer. Now, let that process for a minute. And this is kind of a prelude, okay, to what I really want to talk about. And at the, I mean, I like a half-hour prelude. I want to talk about the kids. I want to talk about the kids. See, as new creations in the church, making up the church, we have something better to offer our children. We have something better to offer our children. I came to know the Lord when I was 25. All right? I mean, enough. You know, I don't even have to say anything. I don't even have to say anything. You know already. See? But see, we have something better to offer our children. Now, granted, our children need a relationship with Christ, always. That's what we're always moving forward to, have a relationship with Christ in their life. But they also need to know the truth about their design. The truth about their design. This provides them with a secure foundation on which they may develop as God designed them. You know, with me, I have a picture up here that you look at. See if we have the thought here, we have this thought here that the children, they need to know who they are and how they're designed. Okay, they're just kids. They're just little kids, you know. And you want to have a secure foundation because they're wired a certain way, but they don't know it. They don't know. They're just little kids. And you want to give them a foundation so they can develop as God designed them. See, children are made to thrive within God's design. Let me do it again. Children are made to thrive within God's design. He put it in them. Now, unfortunately, children are being faced with a multitude of issues that their developing mind can't fully process. You with me? Their mind can't process. It's not mature. They can't process it. And the world is pushing things, decision things in them and telling them things that they can't process. They can't process it. All right? Now, look at this young lady. Now, this could be a young boy. Say she's 11, 12, going through puberty. All right? Boy, be the same thing. You know? And all of a sudden, if any of you old enough, or you know, if any of you can recall puberty, you know, it's like, Lord Jesus. You know, I had puberty usually happens against junior high. I had a teacher one time tell me, says puberty was very similar to purgatory. I had a couple of good relations. Now, what happens, that's a joke, I don't know. Anyway, but what happens, everything's changing. Everything's changing. You see boys 4'10 and 6'3 in the eighth grade. What in the world? I mean, it is all of a sudden things are changing. Everything's changed. And they're grappling with certain things. Now, what the world does, you have this young lady, you have these boys, and they're confused. They're confused about what's happening to them. They're confused about their identity. They're confused because they're going through this change in their life. Now what you're hearing, the world order outside the church, will tell them not to worry about it. You know, don't be concerned. You have multiple choices. You can pick anything you want. I mean, you can pick your gender. You can go what bathroom you want to. You just kind of pick stuff, you know. Morals, you can just kind of pick it. You know, it's a lottery. You can just kind of pick what you want, all right? And then what they will call that is freedom. They have freedom. Don't restrain your children, you know. And freedom, a freedom choice, freedom to do what they want to. With the minds that have not developed enough to process through the information, just let them develop in that. Now, let me ask you something, which is rhetorical, and you know what? This young lady, in this situation, what she's going through, is she free? Is they freed her? Is she free? No. In this mindset, in this world, she will be more confused than she ever was, which will lead to more uncertainties, developing life-dominating, destructive patterns. Junior high. I mean, the habit patterns will start developing. The thought process will start developing. And these destructive patterns will start developing. And with the world saying, it's okay. It's okay. And you know how hard a habit is to break. And it's going against God's design. So she'll never be happy. He'll never be happy because God's design will not allow her to be happy in a situation that she never was meant to be in. So there'll always be this internal struggle. See? And so it's just an absolute destructive way in which the world leads the kids. And the bigot, I mean, so they want as young as possible so they're open. But in the turmoil of junior high, and there is turmoil in junior high, then you come out of that in high school, and those things continue to reinforce and reinforce. And you can always come out of it through the Lord Jesus Christ. But within the church, they need a better foundation. God says, we know the design. We can walk with them and help them in this design. And this is, children are created by God, designated for a special purpose. They are to be nurtured by loving adults in God's design. Nurtured by loving adults in God's design. Not pick one, go with it. All right? And they will be better off because as they move into God's design, they will find that peace and structure. That's not going to be easy, but then they'll find that peace and structure to develop the way God wants them to develop. Now, the family is the core unit for nurturing. Number one, the family, always. However, the church should be a safe structure for the most impressionable of the family of God to be nurtured. The church should be a safe structure. They see it. They're modeled it. They see what's going on. They feel comfortable in it. And when they go into the world, they go, something's not right. It doesn't work right. Maybe the flesh is drawing me, but I know the design that God put in me, and I see it in my family, and I see it in the church. It's what it's supposed to be. See, and that's what God's telling us. And we go back to Deuteronomy. You know, we go back to Deuteronomy. Now, for all you Latin, is that Latin? Deuteronomy? It's five. Yeah. So it's like five. This is five. This is fifth book. All right. This is learn something. So Deuteronomy chapter six. So here is God. Remember how he's talking about Israel. You're my called out people. Well, here in Deuteronomy, he's talking to them. Ain't nobody else. I mean, there ain't no Christians in the world, nothing. He's talking to 3 million Jews. Can you imagine? God started off with 3 million Jews. You know, I mean, and he saved the world, you know. But that's kind of a rough place to start. 3 million Jews. And here's what he tells them. He says, I'm speaking to you because you're my called out people. And you just listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You tell them about it. You tell them about the design. These kids, you tell them. Well, I'll let them grow up and be anything I want to. No, you tell them about it. You're shirking your responsibility. You tell them about the things of God, about their design. Build them. And under the loving supervision, children will embrace and grow within their natural God-given design. See, because that's their design. Now, they're not going to, they're going to fuss and fight. But this is their God-given design. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Just, it's in there. It's in there. He'll keep coming back. He'll keep coming back. Something's pulling on him there. See? And Jesus understood this. Jesus goes, bring the little children to me. In Matthew 19:14, he says this. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For such belongs the kingdom of God. It's theirs. Just let them come. See? Just let them come. Now, as adults, we're to give sacrificial time to the children and bring them to the knowledge of nurturing them and fully experiencing their design. Okay, that they come to the knowledge of Christ and that they would fully experience their design that God has for them. Now, I'll just make a note here how serious God is about this and how serious it is about the kids and how serious it should be for us, for the children. All right? Because God will severely bring judgment on all those who lead children astray. God will severely bring judgment. Anyone who leads a child astray. Matthew 18:5 says this. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. You receive a child. It's like holding Jesus, you know. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now that's sweet. Jesus just said that. All right? Don't mess with the kids. Don't mess with the kids. And so we see this. So as we look at this, we want to think about, okay, within the church, okay, as believers, we live our Christian life in this dark world. And as adults, we understand that we are light to the world and we are to boldly proclaim Christ. But here's the fact. We cannot have the world, let me say it this way, we cannot have the world behave like Christians. Not going to work. It's just not going to work. They're not going to behave like Christians. But in the church, our behavior corporately manifests God's design. Man and a woman, marriage, who you are is special. And so the church is a foundation that communicates God's design. Who we are. It's just who we are. You hear people saying, well, this is just who I am. They say, this is just who I am. See? God's design. God's design. And so we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. And we believe we have a relationship with God. But we are forgiven, but we have. God wants us to fulfill our design. Amen? Won't we just stand and we can just thank God for his goodness. And just the last verse here, and this makes so much sense when you have put this in context. John 3:16 is God reaching out to his people. And it says, God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life and fulfill his design. Fulfill his design. We come in to know Christ, but he wants us to fulfill his design. And the Bible talks about he gives us gifts of the Spirit. He gives us all sorts of things to fulfill our design. Amen? Church, the church is the light to the world.